We learn right from the get-go in Genesis that the reason God created was love. That love begets, love produces, love creates. And when one creates, it isn't just for the sake of, it's to be in communion with. And so God's whole desire is to be in communion, harmony, relationship with all of his creation. And the only thing that can divide that is sin, unrepentant sin. And so right from the beginning, we hear in the sacred scriptures this great divide, this split that happens because of sin. And the whole Old Testament is just one story after another about divide and conquer, about God pursuing his people and his people either being receptive and open or being closed and rejecting. Every story, that's what it's all about. God proposing himself to the people, trying to offer grace, and either the people are responsive to that, receptive to it, and act accordingly, or it's a closure and further rebellion and further divide and decimation. And so Jeremiah today is speaking to a people who are dealing with the result of sin. They're divided. God had 12 tribes, and he made a promise. I will be your people, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And we know how often he tried to bring them out of their corruption, out of their sinfulness, out of their obstinacy. And it just seems like one time after another, he never makes any progress. They get two steps forward and about a dozen back. And so the result of sin is this division, which we see in the Old Testament, and Jeremiah is speaking to it. He's speaking about how God will restore at some point. And Jeremiah's got a tough gig going here. He's right from the beginning, when he's called to be a prophet, he's told, I want you to prophesy to my people, but know this, they will not listen to you. Great, sign me up. I mean, doesn't this sound like a fun job? Go and preach to people that will never listen to you. I could not relate to this. The whole of the book of the prophet Jeremiah is really a very sad commentary because the people are so obstinate. And so on the reading of it, it sounds like, geez, Jeremiah is never positive. Well, the fact is the people are the ones who are so negative. And what are you going to tell them? Oh, great job when you're sitting in a pool of swine. You try to continue to preach, and the people just continue to rebel. So it's a very dark, or what might be perceived as a negative book. This is the part that is positive, though, that we're getting this weekend, because it's about the future. And again, Jeremiah is getting the short end of the stick because he'll never see this future. He will die wondering whether his life was a waste or not, whether it had any effect, whether it made any difference, whether anyone ever listened. I'm sure parents can relate to that in a little bit, right? You wonder if your kids will be productive in this world, be happy, if they'll ever make it to heaven. But we plant seeds, we do what we can. But at the end of the day, free will. And that's the lot that we're all given. God is no different. The prophet is no different. I'm no different. You're no different. We all hope for the best. But at the end of the day, you got to step back and let go and say, well, things are going to happen the way they're going to happen. So the 12 tribes, because of sinfulness, have been divided, 10 to the north and 2 to the south. The 10 to the north have been taken over by the Assyrians, and to the south, the Babylonians. And we hear about this through the whole Old Testament, the exiles. Now, once they're hauled away, what happens? They lose their identity. The reigning nationality is the one that puts forth a new identity. And so the whole north, the 10 tribes of the north, are all of a sudden becoming like Assyrians, taking on the Assyrian culture, marrying the Assyrian women. And so too with the Babylonians. Now we get to the gospel. Bartimaeus is one of these people who's reaped the benefit of his forefathers and foremothers. He is a Jew, but his name is Greek. So he's been influenced. His identity has been taken from him. And yet it hasn't. It has and it hasn't. Like most of us, I think, we all have something deep within us, I would call it grace, that knows or desires or longs for God. We're hardwired for God. And so there's a deep longing or a sense that this is not right. Something's not right. We can't always articulate or put our finger exactly on what it is, but we know there's got to be more. So Bartimaeus is one of these. Whenever the name begins with Bar, that's son of, Barsabbas, Barabbas. Peter is known as Bar-Jonah. So Timaeus is his father, Greek, but he's Jewish. He's part of the exile. He's been removed from his people, from his land, from his culture, from his identity. This is the great miracle that's taking place here. Not that someone removed cataracts or gave him a pair of prescription lenses from Walgreens for $2.99. We don't need Jesus for this. But what we do need Jesus for is our identity. And this man knows instinctively who Jesus is. He knows the scriptures, apparently, because he is witnessing to the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy that we just heard, that the blind will see and the lame will run free. So Bartimaeus is there and he cries out, "Jesus, son of David," that's a Jewish title, "have pity on me." By saying, "son of David," you're saying, "I accept the prophecy. You made a promise to us, and I'm calling you on it. You said the son of David will reunite the tribes and bring us back to the heart of God. Have pity on me." But here it is, the culture. They rebuked him. The culture which stripped him of his identity as child of God, as an Israelite, now all of a sudden rebukes him and tells him to be silent. "You're just a poor, blind beggar. You're worthless. Leave the master alone. He doesn't have time for the likes of you." Ever feel that way? Jesus says, "Call him." So all of a sudden the crowd runs over. "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." The man threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Remember last week, the two sons of Zebedee went up to Jesus and said, "We want you to do for us whatever we tell you." Grasping, grasping, grasping. Wrong approach. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" There's the humility piece that we all need when we're dealing with God. We don't grasp from God like Adam and Eve did. We receive from God. "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man says, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Great, here's a pair of $2.99 from Walgreens. Now you can see." Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." That faith, he knew who Jesus was. That's what saved him. That he's the son of David. That he's the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. This is what gives vision, our identity. We're all exiles, people. This is the great theme of the last current and the last two pontiffs. We are pilgrims. This is not our home. We have been exiled. Now the question is will you let the reigning culture define you, give you your identity? Or do you know, like the blind man, your true identity? Who's really blind here? The crowd is who's blind, not Bartimaeus. He sees clearly. Jesus is the son of David. And Bartimaeus knows he's a child of Israel. He is part of the chosen. He is God's own. Do you know that? Or have you allowed the culture to silence you? Think of what goes on in our world today that tries to tell us how to live our life. If we espouse the definitions that the sacred scriptures have offered us, we become haters, and we're the ones that are exclusive or trying to keep people out. I think it's the exact opposite. You and I have been given a commission by the Lord to proclaim true identity to people who have been deceived, who've been blinded. Jesus, at the end of that gospel, tells Bartimaeus, "You're healed, now go your way." And what's Bartimaeus's response? He's healed and he doesn't go his own way. He follows Jesus. It says he followed him on the way. What's our response to what Jesus does for us? Do we just do the religious thing for an hour on a weekend and that's our business with God? Or do we really know who we are and what he's called us to? He gives us permission. At this Mass, you will be healed. The potential is there. And he will tell you, through me, go your way. What way will you go? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us cry out to the Son of David.